ladies and gentlemen, Alexander Schumann said, "All that exists is God's gift to man, and it all exists to make God known to man, to make man's life communion with God. It is divine love made food, made life for man." Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to commune with you this morning and throughout this day. Help us to walk in your grace and in your favor by the power of your Holy Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, in communion with you, praying without ceasing, reading and meditating upon your holy word and applying it to our lives and obeying it, and so that our fellowship together will be sweet and powerful and beneficial to those around us, so that others would come to know you as Savior and Christians would be encouraged and revived. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 32. And today we're talking only to husbands, specifically to husbands, according to the Word of God. And I am not one of those in the Christian community that thinks that everything is the husband's fault in the marriage and in the family. Many pastors, male pastors, have wrongly played that game to keep the women happy in the church. The beating up of the husband, the beating up of the man, trying to embarrass the man all husbands ought to buy some flowers for their wife on Tuesday, all husbands ought to have a date night with the wife on Friday, all husbands ought to do this and all that. I did this for my wife, you ought to do the same. Happy wife, happy life, and all that garbage. The truth of the matter is, beloved, there are long stretches of married life when nobody is necessarily rewarded or given anything. You just do what God has commanded you to do, and you be content and you be cheerful and joyful in doing it, because it is the right thing to do for the glory of God, minus, quite frankly, oftentimes any feeling whatsoever. You just do it and you get a good feeling because you're doing the right thing. You're being the husband that God wants you to be. You're being the wife and mother and father and children that you ought to be. And by the way, you better stop trying to do all what all of these books are telling you to do and what all of these pastors are telling you to do, and do what the Bible tells you to do. And so with that said, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. This is not a suggestion, sir. This is a commandment. It has nothing to do with your feelings. But she did this. It makes no difference. But I don't like this about her. It makes no difference. I want somebody new and fresh. It makes no difference. You can't do that. The commandment remains. Love your wife. Let me emphasize that in your hearing. Let me read that in your hearing once again. Husbands, love your wives. That is not a suggestion. It's not based upon your feelings or your emotions or on what she does. It has nothing to do with what she does. Amen, somebody. Has nothing to do with what she does. Nothing. This is a commandment to you, sir. Even as Christ also loved the church. That's a high order. And gave himself for it. And if you don't have this kind of agape love, sir, the marriage is not going to last. Because in most cases, your wife is going to disappoint you. And there are rare cases where the wife is such a wonderful woman that that is not the case. She's a great wife. She's a great mother. She's a great example. And she's a great representative of you. And you have 100% confidence in her. And she takes care of business. That's rare. Yeah, I mean, there are some wives out there that husbands would die for and be glad to do it because they're that good to them and to their family. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Do you love your wife in that way? Many of you do. And we thank God for that. How many of you husbands, when you are out and about, you're thinking about buying something for your wife, or doing something special for your wife, for no reason but that you love her and you appreciate her and you want the best for her. And you want her to enjoy the same things you enjoy. Thank God for those marriages that are that way. Some are not. And no, sir, husband, you don't reward evil. You can't reward evil. God does not do that. And you're far from God. God does not reward evil. If you don't believe me, you go ahead on and go out here and disobey him and see how fun that's going to be. That's not going to be a fun day for you, sir. The fellowship will be broken. And when your wife is not doing what she should do, loving her is allowing the fellowship to be broken and letting her know the fellowship is broken because she's disobedient, rebellious, stubborn, setting a bad example, or bringing shame on the family, not taking care of her children, whatever the case might be. If it's not pleasing you, don't just blink at it. You need to say something about it. That's love too, sir. And this is what is wrong with the family today. The husband can't say anything. He's like in a straitjacket. Oh, brother, don't say anything about it. Just say yes, honey, and go on. These are the lies that people tell each other today. One great preacher that I love, thank God for him, but he said something wrong. Is a pastor of a great church today, was president of a great denomination. He was halfway laughing when he said it, but it's the mentality of many people. And most men won't admit it, but most men are henpecked, henpecked towards the wife. And I said, no, that's not the case. Christ is not handpicked by you. You're not going to tell Christ what to do. And Christ is not going to let you have your way and do what you want to do. And everybody who's a Christian knows it. In fact, in most cases, you're going to feel the pain of broken fellowship almost immediately if you sin against God, if you have a wrong thought. Be still over here. If you have a wrong thought, if you lie about something, God's going to be all over you. It's just automatic. You can't. You're going to be trying to find a place, or you know what? Hey, look, check this out, man. I just lied to you about something, man. That's not true. And or you're going to confess it to God as a lie. So that's a part of love too. A part of love is being real with each other, telling the truth to each other. And sometimes, and there are many good men out there who want peace in their homes. They want to have a happy marriage and family, but they've been taught falsely by some pastors and teachers, as well as some stupid books. That's right, I said stupid books. That you're not to say anything to your wife. Just let her run rampant, let her have her way, and so that you can have peace in your home. That's a lie out of hell. That's not a picture of the church which Paul is using right here. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Some of you women would be amazed how much your wife, or rather your husband, God forbid your wife, but your husband loves you and wants to do things for you. And let me tell you something, and I'll say this again. If you, dear wife, if you would do what God has commanded you to do, automatically, I tell you, I lie not to you. Your husband will move heaven and earth to do whatever your heart's desire is, or whatever he thinks your heart desire is. He'll move heaven and earth to get it for you, to do it for you, or whatever. You'll be on more cruises. You'll have more beautiful dresses and trinkets and gold chains and bracelets. But he's not, listen to me very carefully. If he's a good husband, he's not going to do that for you if you are a witch. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a woman who is always talking back, always rebellious, stubborn, loud, boisterous, constantly trying to embarrass her husband. Does not take care of business at home in no way, shape, form, or fashion. He's not going to do that if he's a good husband. There are some husbands, and I know of some preachers who have lost their wives following these books instead of the Bible. Buying everything, letting her do whatever she wanted to do, buying her everything that she does not even need, thinking that that's going to keep her happy. Nothing's going to keep the husband happy or the wife happy other than the Lord and obedience to the Lord. In fact, you will not enjoy marriage or married life, family life, or any other part of your life if the Lord is not first. You see, people who love the Lord first understand that they can enjoy many other things as well. It starts with Him. It does not start with the things or people. You have the right relationship with the Lord, and then you'll love and enjoy and everything else in life. You don't put the Lord first, you're not going to enjoy anything in life. And that's a fact. You can take that to the bank, my friend. Verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Regarding this passage, the Moody Bible Commentary states, the husband's love for the wife has two bases: Christ's example and the one flesh relationship. Christ's love is beyond comprehension as he seeks the good of the church. So husbands must love by joyfully pursuing the best for their wives, even if it entails sacrifice. Christ's goal is a church that is morally and spiritually beautiful in all her glory. And so must be the goal of the husband toward the wife. Generally, people naturally care for themselves. Therefore, since the husband and wife are one flesh, the husband must love his wife in the same way that he cares for himself. Her good is his good. The same intimacy and care exists between Christ and his body, the church. Can somebody say amen? Let's pray for the family. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that all Christian marriages would be real and honest, transparent, coming from a place of your agape love for one another and obedience to your holy word, whether people feel like it or not. And then they will begin to enjoy on a deeper level their marriage and their family, because it's all tied to you and your holy word. And every aspect of their marriage would be better and will be better if we apply your holy word to our lives and to our marriages and not live by our feelings and our emotions and what we selfishly want. Help us to repent of such foolishness, and help us to repent of the notion that love is letting people have their way. Love is getting everything that people want. And Lord, you don't even do that for us. And you never have, you're not now, and you never will do it that way. Because you know us. And we need to confess our sins, and we need to repent and turn from our evil ways so that we can enjoy fellowship with you. And we thank you for your love. And in fact, Lord, those of us who have been chastised by you, after salvation, we thank you for that chastisement more than anything. We didn't like it when we were going through it, but we thank you for that, because you loved us so much that you would not let us stay in our disobedient way. And so, Lord, help us as husbands and wives and parents and children to understand that in the family. It may not be pretty sometime. It may not be hunkadory and fun much of the time. But it is good for us. And help us to understand that and be thankful to you for it. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, and for his sake, amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, please join me now in our devotional passage, Psalm 78, verses 9 through 11. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. My, my, my. That sounds like some of us. Refuse to obey God. And therein lies our problem. We want God's blessings and God's favor, but we refuse to obey God. Some of the most stiff-necked people in the history of the world are not just the Israelites, but the modern-day church. Disobedient, stubborn, stubborn wills, rebellious, won't seek advice, liars, thieves, crooked. Will a man rob God? God said, let me answer that. You have robbed me in tithes and offerings. Since you're kind of slow to answer, let me answer for you. Thieves and robbers. Nasty attitudes straight from hell in the church today. And forgot his works, verse 11, and his wonders that he had showed them. And so many in the church of God have forgotten God's good right hand upon them, God's favor and God's blessings that he has bestowed upon you in the millions of blessings since you have been saved and even before you got saved, drawing you to himself. Amen, somebody. Some of you people are not thankful. Focus on that. Some of you people are not thankful. You're not grateful. You're not appreciative of what God has done for you. That's why you have no joy. That's why you have no peace. That's why you have no contentment. You're not satisfied with nothing. Your behind is jumping from thing to thing, conference to conference, church to church, meeting to meeting, concert to concert, trying to find something that you left behind. You're ripping and running here and there, leaving the God who saved your soul behind. And it is shameful for you to do God that way. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us in your church. And we know that there are some in the church who are tares. And as I call them, terrorists, the phonies and the fakes. But Lord, we're talking about your people who have truly trusted you as Savior. Help us to confess our sins of being unthankful, ungrateful, not appreciative of what you have done, not content, always looking for something else. The next great thing, when you are the greatest thing ever that has ever happened to us. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins of casting you and your holy word behind our backs and searching for stuff and searching for something that we have already left behind. Help us to go back to our first love. Help us to go back to you and love you back because you first loved us. It is the most beautiful thing in the world. And we thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, beloved, let's pray for governmental leaders and all of the estates and all people. We do this based upon 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. With that said, we pray, Holy Father God, now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for President Donald Trump and his administration, as we have prayed for all other previous presidents. And we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection and provision, blessings upon him, his family, and all of his staff. We pray that you'll give him and everyone else in his administration wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and insight. And we pray these blessings, Lord, upon each member of the White House staff, leaders of all federal agencies, all members of Congress, even those who oppose the president and those who support the president, all governors, all mayors, police chiefs, and sheriffs, all military leaders, the leaders of all nations around the world, the peace of Jerusalem. And Holy Father God, that you would lead, guide, and direct them in the way that you want them to go. Let your will be done. We pray with your servant John. Please come quickly. We pray for all church leadership. We pray for those who are saved, that you would revive all of us again. Those who are not saved, we pray that they would come to know your Savior. Those who are religious but lost and don't even know you, we pray for current events around the world. We pray for provision, support, and financial aid for the families, cities, and churches recovering from Hurricanes Harvey, Irma, and Maria, the wildfires in California, and the earthquakes in Mexico, and for the families devastated by the killing of their sons fighting in Niger. Comfort them as only you can, and we pray for all other tragedies and all other painful events around the world, that you'll comfort these people as only you can. We pray for the persecuted Christians in China and other places, that you would comfort them and give them your grace to go through. And we pray for the media as well, the state of the media or press, that you would save those who are lost in this industry, revive those who are saved, and help them to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, because they have a responsibility in informing the people, and they are a part of the leadership. And so we pray that you would help these folks to stay out of the news themselves and help them to not create news that is not true. And so, Holy Father God, we pray also for the prayer requests that have been sent in to us, and we thank you for the privilege to pray for other people and their needs. And we pray that you'll help us to pray for a few this morning and to pray for the others throughout the day. We pray for Elle, strengthen her spiritually, emotionally, and physically. give her more faith in you and help her to feel your presence and love in her life. Deliver her from all spiritual attacks. Deliver her from people who are harassing her and using her. Bring her family back together. We pray for Jean-Baptiste, for his wife and daughter to have good relationships with you. Please bring them together. Help them to resist temptation and pray more. And as a family, we pray for Harjinder. Please heal him of depression and phobias. Bless him and his brother, Manjeet. Heal Manjeet of negative thoughts and deliver him from the power of Satan. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Father God, that you would rebuke and bind the devil and his demons and his hosts from all Christian families, and that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell out of people who have that issue. And apparently there are legions of people, many people who have legions of demons, who are hearing voices, who are mumbling voices under their breath, all around us, and are having violent thoughts, demonic thoughts in their minds, and who are listening to demons and controlled by demons. And so we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you cast out the devil and the demons of hell out of these people. Some are in Christian families, many are not. And Lord, give a sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, particularly during this time of the year, particularly over the next 8 to 10 days. Surround us with the band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire. We even pray that you would protect the lost from demonic and satanic entrance and attack. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even those churches and those pastors and leaders in the church who are not aware of how the devil works in these seasons, we pray that you would protect them, open their eyes, help them, and their ears, and help them to see and hear and to discern what is happening and in their churches, that they will not have a catastrophe over the next 10 days. Give us all sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray for those who have been saved through this ministry. Help these to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for Lucas, we pray for John Yalu, and we pray for Jasmine. We pray for those who have recommitted their lives to Christ. We pray for Carlos, Udaya, and Mr. Norwood. Help these to stand strong in the faith. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading for today is The Reason for Everything, Part 2, from The Purpose-Driven Life by Dr. Rick Warren. Dr. Rick Warren goes on to say, throughout history, God has revealed his glory to people in different settings. He revealed it first in the Garden of Eden, then to Moses, then in the tabernacle and the temple, then through Jesus, and now through the church. It was portrayed as a consuming fire. a cloud, thunder, smoke, and a brilliant light. In heaven, God's glory provides all the light needed. Can somebody say amen? The Bible says the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. God's glory is best seen in Jesus Christ. He, the light of the world, illuminates God's nature. Because of Jesus, we are no longer in the dark about what God is really like. My God, help us to understand. The Bible says the sun is the radiance of God's glory. Jesus came to earth so we could fully understand God's glory. The Word became human and lived among us. Emmanuel, God with us. You feel depressed this morning, you down about something, get your mind on that right there. We saw His glory, a glory full of grace and truth. God's inherent glory is what He possesses, because He is God. It is His nature. It is His nature. We cannot add anything to this glory, just as it would be impossible for us to make the sun shine brighter. But we are commanded to recognize His glory, honor His glory, declare His glory, praise His glory, reflect His glory, and live for His glory. Somebody ought to say amen right there. I like that real good. Why? Because God you know it's good when you don't even have to say the words. Everybody know what you're going to say. Because God deserves it. Can somebody say amen? We owe Him every honor we can possibly give. Glory be to God. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we give You the glory. We give You the praise and we give You the honor because You deserve it. And we praise You and we thank You for Your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's sitting at Your right hand. And we give Him the glory as well as Your Holy Son, our Holy Savior, because He deserves it. Now, Lord, as we depart from this place, help us to go out and reflect Your glory by living the way we should in a sin-cursed world. By Your grace and by the power of Your Holy Spirit, in Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for His sake, amen. Now, my beloved, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have not been born again. If you were to die today, you would go to hell and not heaven, because you are a sinner as the rest of us are. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible tells us that we, because of our sin, will die. Our body will go to the grave, but our soul will go to hell if we have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And right now, I'm telling you, if for those of you who happened upon us and from the World Wide Web, and you understood some of the things I said. Most of that stuff was directed to people who already know Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you now, the most important thing you'll ever hear in your life, and that is the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself said to you and to me in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loves you more than you love yourself. He sent his only begotten Son, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins, to shed his blood on the cross for your sins and for mine. He died, so therefore he was buried. But on the third day, he rose again. And all you have to do is believe in him, believe in Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. It is as simple as that. It is the grandest news known to mankind. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if you put your name there, Javon, if Javon shall confess with Javon's mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart, your heart, Javon's heart, that God hath raised Jesus Christ from the dead, thou, you, Javon, shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Make no mistake about it, Jesus Christ died on the cross to save your soul from hell. For whosoever, that word whosoever includes Javon and everybody else at any time in the history of the world, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell, which we all deserve. So, dear friend, Javon and everybody else, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou, you, Javon, or anybody else, shall be saved. It's as simple as that. Pray and ask God to save you because of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he will save you, and I will be glad to lead you in what is commonly called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have broken some of your Ten Commandments, such as lying, dishonesty, bearing false witness, stealing, and lusting after other people or things, coveting what other people have. I'm guilty before you, and I understand that I deserve hell just like a criminal deserves jail. Please have mercy and grace upon my soul, a sinner. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, my lying, my stealing, and my lusting. He was buried and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and help me to turn from my old life and to follow you in the new life. Thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven by the grace of God. It's not anything that you have done. All you did was believe in Him. And that's all that's necessary. Welcome, dear friend, to the family of God. Welcome, dear friend, to the house of the beloved. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read what to do after you enter through the door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.